There is a word from the Lord. Amen. I pray you have your Bible with you, your phones, that you're ready to look it up. Amen. And I invite you, if you're able, to stand with me and turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. I just want to lift up one verse for you, us this morning, to consider. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Amen. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I will be reading this morning from the ESV version of the Bible, and it reads, "Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint." Pray with me for just a little while from the subject, "I can't quit now." Father God, we give you praise. We give you glory right now. Father God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you have your way in me and in your house. God, move right now, Father God. Move, Father God, right now, God. And Father God, I am nothing without you, but because of who you are, I am. So God, I come with great expectation, God, that you would bless me physically, bless me spiritually, God. Keep my mind, God, focused, God. And Father God, bless me to deliver a word that gives you glory and challenge your people, God. We pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Because we've asked you, God, we expect to see another miracle moving right here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And the saints of God said, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. This morning, empowered by the Holy Spirit, I have been challenged to share a word that I pray that will inspire you. I pray that it will encourage you. I pray that the word that God has given for you this morning, for us this morning, will cause you to say, look, I've got to keep pressing on for the glory of God. We're going to approach this morning by offering an introduction, and we will give some brief background of the book of Hebrews and work our way up to chapter 12, and then we get into the text, and we want to consider, because the text tells us to consider him who endured. We want to take some time and take a look at what Jesus, some of the things Jesus endured. And then we want to note what the second half of the text tells us, why he endured it. Amen. And then we'll offer a closing summation, issue a challenge, and lift up a prayer. Amen. But I'm challenging you this morning, already don't quit. Then we will move on to enjoy more of this awesome day that the Lord has made. I trust, pray, and believe that you will be encouraged. It's time for me to go to work. Can I? Just for a moment, would you indulge me to engage you in kind of a one-way dialogue this morning? Because I want to ask some questions and raise some questions, but if you would, indulge me, amen, to engage you for just a minute. Because I know that if you really have been walking and working for the Lord, if you have been really striving and doing all you can, somewhere along the line, you may have grown just a little bit weary. I thought I'd get about five more amens, amen, that knowing that, hey, I'm struggling. And if the truth be told, I want you to take a look at yourself and say, am I still on fire for the Lord? Am I still doing all that God has called me to do? Am I still doing the same as I was, or am I doing just a little less? And if the answer that you have to answer for yourself, don't say it out loud. Don't look around. Because so all the time we look around and say, well, I can tell you I'm doing all I can, but so-and-so over there, they ain't doing all they can do. I know them. They done sat down on the job. Amen. But I want you to look at yourself this morning and be real with you, amen. And if that's the case, it's okay. God's got a word that's going to help you, amen. But I do want to ask you, if that's you, what was it? What was it that caused you to waver from your commitment to work and do the work of the kingdom. You were active in church. Amen. At one time, they couldn't. Every time there was a opening or every time they needed somebody, your hand went up and said, I'll do it. Every time that there was a someone to go or someone to take or food to be prepared, you would say, I got it. I'll do it. Amen. Amen. You were at some time one of the most reliable individual that living faith could even desire and pray God to have. You were on fire. You were sharing the gospel no matter where you were. They'd have to tell you, girl, you ought to stop talking about Jesus. Man, is that all that's on your mind, Jesus? That's the way you were at one time, but are you still there? And if your answer is no, amen, what happened? All right. Was it something that you have now labeled as church hurt occurred? Did someone say the wrong thing at the wrong time and cause you to take a couple of steps back? And say they can just hold their breath and expect me to do it. Just keep holding your breath and waiting on me to do it again. Because I don't have to deal with that. I don't have to put up with that. Did someone not recognize you and give you all the recognition that you thought that you deserve? Amen. After all, you had bought a new suit. Amen. And they didn't even say nothing about your suit. Amen. You went and spent about $100 and a half to get your hair done. At least they could have said your weave looked nice. I'm sorry. I'm going to leave it alone. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure it out and help you understand. What happened? Did you just feel like I just found something else better to do? Amen. I don't want to spend my Sundays all day, a Sunday morning in church. I want to get up and go and to a Cracker Barrel, have breakfast, and I want to leave there and go fishing or do something. I just found something else better than to do with my time, particularly when folks don't appreciate or didn't demonstrate. Nobody put me on Facebook or on the church bulletin by what I did. And I got to ask you, amen, if it wasn't none of that, is there a new he or a she? I'm sorry, man. I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be all right. Are you calling their name more than you're calling on the name of the Lord? I'm going to leave it out alone and go on, amen. What was it? What was it that has caused you to compromise on biblical protocol and biblical principles and what God has commanded us to do? What was it? Amen. There was a time when you could count the Sundays that you were not in attendance on one hand. But now, if the truth really be told, amen, you have more headaches and aches and pains and this and that, and little Johnny's in trouble, and you got a reason why, got to go to work or whatever, and you can't make it no more. Now you need not only your hand and your toes, amen, but you got to borrow your neighbor's. Pastor Love, you told me I could preach, amen, bless you, amen. You know the word of God because you've been taught the word of God. If you've been at Living Faith anytime, you have been taught the word of God. You know it. But you just choose to let the good times roll. There was a time when you would let your little light shine everywhere you go, all in your house, you let it shine. Everywhere you go, you let it shine. Now, it seems as though I don't know your business, but the Holy Ghost is telling me to say it. So it seems as though you are being lured into a dark place just so you can hide your light and let your hair down. What trials, What tribulation has eroded your tenacity to turn you from the mission and the call of duty as a Christian? What storm, amen, because storms do come in our lives, but I have to ask you what to think about what storm was it that threw you off course, and why have you found it acceptable to stay in a strange place? Instead of fighting your way back to the house and the hope and the arms of an almighty God that's eagerly awaiting, why did you choose and choosing to live in a place where shattered dreams are only things you can see? Has life, have the disruptions of this life detached you from the will, the works, and giving God your all? Has the shadows of hopelessness and the despairs imprisoned you? At some point, if you're not careful, when you're going through hopeless situations or what appears to be hopeless, the enemy will tell you they're hopeless. And when you're going through despair, if you're not careful, you will find yourself in prison, amen, and can't even see the bars. Has the darkness of the valleys dimmed your joy, amen? Sometimes when you're going through the valley, it seems like it wants to rob you of your joy. Amen. But I'm telling you, God will give you a joy. Amen. He'll give you a joy, unspeakable joy. I told my baby the other week, I said, God has given me joy. She said, Daddy, you're right. I said, I got joy. And somebody's going to take a whooping today, amen, if they try to rob me of the joy that God has given me. I didn't say it that way, but that's where I need to say it this Sunday morning. Amen, where I'm standing. Amen. God will do it. Amen. Amen. But I have to ask you, what valley, what darkness, where are you going through? Wait. Pastor Love, it seemed like that some have reached a point, amen, that they're just saying, look, it's just time for me to let it go. Amen. It's time for me to give up this office. Amen. It's time for me to step down. It's time for me to quit. It's just time for me to let this go. And it seems as though you're trying to quit before you reach the finish line. It seems like you want to stop before you run the race and they reach the end of your course. Are you trying to quit? Have you grown weary in well-doing? Are you about at that point where you've got the towel in your hand and you're about ready to throw it in? I challenge you this morning, before you throw in the towel, take a look at the towel and you will see that it is stained by the blood of Jesus. You don't want to throw that in right now. Amen. Jesus set the awesome example for us to how to endure to the end. Well, that was my introduction. Thank you for indulging me. Amen. Amen. Some background. According to Wilmington's Guide to the Bible, he states that the book of Hebrew, which has been called by some the fifth gospel, presents a full discussion of the New Testament of Christ, amen, and to the believers as his high priest, amen. It presents this picture of we have a high priest, amen, and I thank God for having a high priest, amen. Amen. The book of Hebrew contains five key warnings. Amen. Five key warnings. If you're taking some notes, amen, there's some good notes to take, amen. But if you're not, I pray God bless you to remember them, amen. The first one is, don't disregard God's word. God has given us a word to live by, amen. Don't disregard that saying, I think I got it figured out now. No, don't disregard the word of God. You're going to get in trouble. The other warning is don't doubt God's word. Amen. I need at least, I thought three people would shout and say, I don't doubt. And because I don't doubt, here's what God has done in my life. Don't doubt the word of God. I don't care how dark it looks, how dim it gets. Don't doubt the word of God. He also warns us, don't depart from the word of God. It seems as though Pastor Love, sometimes as soon as God bless us, as soon as he make a way, we say, we instead of doing what we're supposed to do, we find ourselves distancing ourselves from God and moving away. But the Bible, the writer tells us in the book of Hebrews, don't depart from the word of God. Don't despise the word of God. Amen. Don't do that. Don't disagree with the word of God. Sometimes people just have knockdown, drag out, trying to give their opinion about what they think ought to be done here and there. The word of God will answer all of your questions and your concerns. Just don't disagree with the word of God. Oh, and if you would receive that, amen. If you could just say, I got them all, I got it down, I'm going to do it. I could probably stop, offer the benediction, and we could go home. But I can't stop there, amen. I can't quit now. So let me move a little closer to the text. We find ourselves there in chapter 11, this list, amen, of those who are listed in the faith, what I call the Faith Hall of Fame. So many great people listed there, and we read that and we talk about them. But I want you to think this morning, if God had to add somebody to the list, would I qualify to be listed on that list, amen? Is my life a living example of faith? Have I demonstrated that I believe, amen, in the Lord? And if he were to make another list, amen, like the one that we're going to see that's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will I find my name, amen? Will I qualify to be listed in the Faith Hall of Fame? Chapter 12 opens with therefore. Yeah, since we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, He says, and let us lay aside the weight, which meaning, amen, we've got some, amen, some extra stuff that we're carrying. There are some things we're not designed to carry. So he said, look, you better lay aside the weight and the sins which cling so closely, and let us run with endurance. Well, I feel Pastor Love is to pause right now and note the biblical meaning of endurance, because I came here to bless somebody. Endurance means to get through the trials without compromising or wavering. Yeah, it means having and demonstrating an inward power or fortitude necessary to withstand hardships and stress. To have the ability to persevere in the task that you have been assigned or called. Amen. Endurance in its simplest term means to last, means to hold out, means to continue, amen, without perishing. Press forward no matter what and against all odds. He said, look, you got to lay aside the weight because you need to endure. Let it go. Let it aside so that you can run with endurance the race that has been set before you. Amen. Everybody that's breathing right now have a race to run. Amen. Amen. And then now he calls our attention there. He said, look, after he tells us that, he said, look, but there's an example of one that I need to talk about. He said, there's one that I want you to consider when you start talking about endurance. There's one that I need you to take a look at when it comes down to who demonstrated how we need to hold on. Amen. The text now, we're into the text in verse 3. He tells us now, the writer encourages us, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against him. I need you to put a pin right there, amen, because for a few minutes, I want to just roll down memory lane, amen. For a few minutes, I want to take a look at some of the things that Jesus did, amen, amen. Then we'll talk more about what he's doing, but I want to talk, amen, about some of the things, or share with you to some things to consider that Jesus endured, amen. Are you ready to walk with me? I won't be much longer, amen, amen. Amen. First of all, he was born in a sinful world surrounded by so much controversy. Amen. They're talking about the baby's mama and daddy and everybody else in their family. Probably so much controversy going on. You know, sometimes you look around the world today and people who can't have babies no more say, I'm glad I can't have no more children. I don't want to bring them up in here. But if you could, you would. Amen. But I'm going to leave that alone too. I ain't trying to ask for no miracles. Ain't nobody. Amen. But here he is, coming into a sinful world. So much controversy. Now, even as a toddler, he finds himself on a hit list from Herod. Yeah, Herod had a plan to stop him while he was still a baby. Don't you know that you look at our young people today, our toddlers today, our babies today, the enemy, you say, wow, they're under so much attack, because he knows if I can stop them while they're a baby, if I can stop them while they're young, then I may have a chance of holding them if I can grip them while they are young. Jesus, amen, found himself on Herod's hit list. Oh, but God. God sent some wise men with provisions, amen. God sent some wise men, amen, that understood that he was the King of kings and Lord of lords. And no matter that there was a target on his back, and for somebody this morning that you're walking around in the will of God, no matter if there is a target on your back, don't you know some way, some guy, how God will make a way, amen. I don't know, amen, if that's you or not, but I can tell you every day I get up thanking God, knowing that he will make a way somehow. In spite of the snares of the enemy and the enemy's plan, God will provide. My Lord, as a preteen, amen, before he was even a teenager, he got left behind. Lord have mercy. I know they're saying no child now left behind, but Jesus got left behind, amen. But Jesus didn't let that stop him. He simply said, look, I've got to be about my Father's business. Sometimes it's good when folks leave you alone, amen. I know they've been your friend a long time. I know y'all went to school together, but every now and then it's good to get left alone, amen. When you get left alone, Jesus can talk to you and tell you his business. When you got a lot of folks around you, they're only telling you their business, and you find yourself being about their business instead of his business. But Jesus was left alone, but he said, look, I'm good. I was just about my Father's business. And beside that, he had made up his mind, even if I got to go by myself, I'm still going to go. Amen. If I got to do it by myself, I'm still going to do it. I need a couple of witnesses that said, look, you don't have to go with me, and I don't need a crowd, but if God called me to go, I will go. Go. Amen, amen. Don't y'all forget, you on Facebook now, and you're going to see your hand going up. Amen. So when Pastor Love said this to you to go, you can't say, oh, that wasn't my hand. Amen. So there he was, left alone. Amen. And not only was he left alone, they finally caught up with him and got him, amen, scolded him a little bit, but he was all right. But then he finds himself growing up in a family perhaps didn't think he quite fit in. Amen, my Lord. You hear people now say, well, I feel like the black sheep of the family. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. You're never a black sheep as long as you're serving the sheep. Amen, the Lamb of God. Amen. But here he was saying, look, I didn't quite fit in. My eyes are different than my father's eyes. He don't look like the rest of us boys. Amen. Who is he? Amen. Something messed up about him. And as he matured in the family, the family judged him and began to think, well, he just a little off. Amen. That's the truth. Read your word. Amen. You will find out they thought he had a problem. Amen. They thought he needed some help. Amen. They thought Jesus may need a little counseling or something. Amen. Perhaps he didn't take his medication that morning. They thought he was a little bit off. So there he is, but Jesus stayed focused, amen. Because Jesus said, look, I'm not going to allow the perception of my family members and those around me to halt or hinder the mission, amen. I need some amens in the house that said, look, I got some family that's not quite right. I got some family that's got some thoughts that's not of God, but I'm not going to let them hinder me. I have to hear them, but don't let what you hear hinder you from the will, purpose, and plan of God. Pray for them, amen, because the enemy is trying to use them and they don't know they're getting used. Lord have mercy. Amen. Thank Jesus, though, for setting this example of endurance. Jesus know, amen, that it would be difficult when we have those who are close to us, those who are family, those who are close friends. He knew the damage they could do by just saying a word or two. And sometimes folks don't have to say nothing to you, Pastor Love. Family members just can give you that look and tell you to go straight to Houston. Yeah, they just give you that look, and you know that it's time for me to go to Houston. I know you're telling me to go to Houston, amen. But don't let family members discourage you, amen, or throw you off track. Can you walk with me just a little further? I'm about to get wrapped up. Just walk with me a little bit further. Amen. Amen. Jesus, we find as he continued his ministry, he turned water to wine. Amen. I thought at least somebody would say amen on that. And you ain't got to tell off on yourself, amen. But you can say amen. You read the word, amen. He turned water to wine, amen. Good wine. Good wine. Wine that would have won the top prize at the Decanter World Wine Award. It was good wine, yet Jesus didn't get the recognition or the praise. If you read your word, amen, it'll tell you that the host, amen, came. They said, look, man, you brought out the best stuff to last. You would have thought he said, man, Jesus crafted that wine. But he didn't say that. He just said, oh, thank you. He stuck his chest out. That's the way some folks will do you. You will give, amen, but they won't give you no credit. He healed more than 5,000. I mean, he healed and he fed over 5,000. And you would think that, man, they would want a little more Jesus. But so oftentimes we find people coming for the food and the favor instead of becoming a follower. I know you got something to give me, so I want to get what you have to give me that I can use right now, and I'll see you again tomorrow, amen. What you going to do about eternity that ought to be at the top of your mind, amen? You've got to realize that some folks will use you to get what they want right now. That's what they're thinking in their mind. But they don't realize that God told you to give it to them, amen. No matter what they did with it, no matter what they do with it, God said, give it, amen. And when you give according to the word of God, you can have peace in your own mind, amen. Because some folks are just some right now folks. I'm going to use you right now. But then you got to say, God, watch God bless you. I learned this. You will never be indebted to God's blessing. He said, try me if you want to. He said, look, try me, and I'll prove herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up a window of heaven and pour you out. You will never be indebted. Give it. Bless them. And watch them find the way. Say, why? I talked about them the other day, but they blessed me anyhow. I did them wrong, but they blessed me anyhow. What is that they have that I'm missing? Jesus stayed focused, amen, although he knew there were some folks that was only there for a happy meal. Jesus, amen, he walked on water. He made the lame walk. He caused the blind to see. Amen. He caused the mute to talk. He cast out demons. Yet, they still talked about him. In a negative way, man. As a matter of fact, some of the leaders and the religious folks, amen, because you do know it's the religious folks that often talk about folks the most. If you would talk about Jesus more than one another and each other, you would be amazed at how God would then bless your life. So here he is. He's casted out demons. He's casted, made the lame walk, the blind talk. They've seen him walk on water, heard about it. Yet they said he is operating under the power of Beelzebub. They called him the prince of demons. They called him a son of Satan. Amen. Have you ever wanted to quit when you've been out doing your best for somebody, giving your all to them, and they turn around and call you something evil, call you out of your name that I can't say on Sunday morning? Amen. You've heard them call you that. Amen. They thought you were out of ear hustle range, but you heard what they said about you. Amen. And it's enough. Amen. After you have given your all, sometime you may have given them your last $10, that's not enough, and your last $100 bill, amen, and they turn around and said something evil about you. It's enough, amen, to make you just say, look, it's time for me to go to the sideline and keep the bench warm, and I'm through with that Jesus stuff. If you just be real, it's enough to say, I'm going to step out of the race for right now. Let somebody else keep running because I don't have to put up with that. So oftentimes, too many Christians have made their mind up. I don't have to put up with that stuff no more. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus didn't quit. Amen. Jesus had the mindset thinking that no matter what, amen, I don't care what unfounded views people may present of me, I just cannot quit. Those who were close to Jesus had seen him working miracle after miracle. Those who he had taught and spent time with him, those who had walked the walk with him, saw him working, but they were some of the same people that when Jesus was in need, when he needed them to pray with him, they went to sleep on him. In the midst of deep trouble and distress, his soul was crushed. The Bible said he was at grief. He said, man, he felt like, I feel my chest caving in on me. This thing is not looking too good, and I need somebody to pray with me. Have you ever been there when you feel like I just can't get a word through to God and I need somebody to pray with me? And you picked up one number and that line was busy, or you picked dial another number and they said, I'll call you back in a few minutes, and now it's 3 days later and they still have not heard from them. Have you ever been at that time, amen, when you couldn't get nobody to pray with you? I want to encourage you to look at what Jesus did. Jesus said, that's all right. I know how to reach the Father all by myself. Sometimes, amen, you got to get to the point where you can pray by yourself. Have a talk with the Lord. Amen. I find Jesus in the garden and say, look, I'm going to pray on anyhow. And so I looked at that and my soul got happy when the Holy Ghost reminded me that Jesus prayed in the garden. And when I looked at what he was saying in his prayer in the garden, he was saying, Father, wait a minute, hold up. I've been through so much stuff. I've been through so many trials. I've been through so many tribulations. I've been talked about so much. I've been through so much pain, God. And Father, I was just wondering. Would you consider, is there any other way? I looked in the cup. I know what's in the cup. I left heaven because to drink of the cup. I know what's there. But is there any other way that you can let this cup pass? Is there any other way that this pain or we could be averted? Can we do it any other way? The suffering is so severe, it's so painful. I know what's coming. Is there any other way? I have to ask somebody. Have you been at the point where you ask God, is there any other way? God, is there anything that you can do right now? God, is there any way that I don't have to go through this? God, can the cup pass in my life? Amen. I've been there when tomorrow's pain looked like they were too hard for me to bear. Amen. I've been there, amen, in the midnight hours, and I wondered, how will I make it through the night? Amen. But I thank God for hearing and knowing that he prayed. Amen. And when he got through, he makes a statement for every believer in his actions and in his words. But when he got done praying, he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. He makes a statement to teach us how we can endure till the end, because the Bible said when he got through, there was a joy that was set before him. You've got to understand, amen, when you think you've done all you can do, amen, you just keep standing. When you think you can't deal with anymore, just know that there's a joy that's still awaiting you. Amen. He would go on, amen, because he realized, I can't stop now. I can't quit now. He would go on and be betrayed, amen, by those who were closest to him. He would be abandoned and he would be denied. Yet Jesus made up his mind, I just can't quit right now. He had a trial, amen, that should have been declared a mistrial due to insufficient evidence. Yet Jesus said, look, I'm going to go on anyhow. And Jesus was beaten for those who were about to take his life, amen, that was about to punish him. Jesus said, look, I'm beaten, but I'm going to lay down my life for you, amen. Amen. That ought to be enough for us to change our mind, amen. I know you've been hurt. I know you may have gone through, amen. But Jesus began to teach us, amen, if you just keep on marching up the King's highway, if you just don't stop right now, if you just make up in your mind that I'm determined to finish my course, amen. Jesus said, look, I got to finish, amen. Oh, I'm so glad that he finished, because the Bible tells me, amen, that they loaded his bloody torn body with a cross, amen, and marched him up to Calvary, amen, with our sins, amen, on his shoulder, and that he would nail to the cross, amen, that he would nail with his hand and his feet, but he still didn't quit, amen. Somebody need to be blessed this morning, knowing that in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your persecution, just don't quit this morning, amen. They nailed him, but he didn't quit. Oh, I thank God that he didn't quit. Why did he not quit? There was just one more sinner that he could save before he took his last breath. There was a man hanging on the cross, amen, that said, Jesus, I believe in you, and when you come into your kingdom, will you remember me? Jesus said, that's why I didn't quit. There's one more to be saved. I know they mocked him, they ridiculed, they made fun of him, but he said, I got one more soul to save. If you are a born again believer, know right now, you got one more soul to save. You can't quit now. You got one more to witness to about the goodness of the Lord. It was the ninth hour. And Jesus said, it's finished. He said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Yes, he gave up his life for us. Yes, he died for a wretch like me. I thought about 25 people would be up running now saying, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, if it had not been for him hanging on the cross, where would I be? I thought the redeemed would do in my saying so. I thought I would have to stop right now because you would be too busy shouting and thanking the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. I thank God for redeeming us. I thank him for sending his son for us. Amen. I thank him for saving us and cleansing us. And I can tell you that the blood still works. Oh, but let me take you now back through the second half of the text. It says, he gives us another reason why Jesus went through it all. The second half of verse 3 says, so that he did it so that you wouldn't grow weary. He did it so you wouldn't faint in the midst of the fire. He did it so you wouldn't be blown away in the midst of your storm. He did it so the waves would not carry you off. Amen. He didn't quit. Amen. So that you wouldn't quit. Amen. He shared the example for us on how to endure hardships like a good soldier and be like a tree planted by the rivers of water and declare, I shall not be moved. Jesus knew the road would get rough and the going would get tough, and there would be some hills and some mountains that would be hard to climb. But when he marched up Calvary's cross, bloody and carrying my cross, it made me want to cling to him more and say, yes, I can. I won't give up. Amen. He knew that we would have some valleys that would be shadows of death, but he became a lily in the valley. I've heard that all my life, that Jesus was a lily in the valley, and the Holy Ghost said, do you know what it means? And I said, well, I thought I did, but let me help somebody that was like me. I went and I found the Holy Spirit led me to the Victorian language of flowers, and I started shouting when I read it, because knowing that he's a lily in the valley, when you look at the lily represent a return to happiness. I thought somebody would shout, no, I've been in the valley. I may be in the valley, but there is a destination. There is an end date, and I know that God will see me through. There is a return to happiness still waiting for me. I don't know about you, but I made up my mind that I won't quit. He's done so much for me. He's still making a way. I can't quit. I won't quit. He shared an example for me. I'm empowered by him. He's on the inside. I can't quit. When I think about the goodness of the Lord and all he's done for me. My soul rejoices. I can't quit. I may be lied on, talked about and mistreated, but I refuse to let go. I may be in a storm today, but I won't quit because I know that he holds my tomorrow. I know he holds my hand, and I made up my mind that I won't quit. Well, that's me. What about you today? Have you made up your mind that I'm going to run on in the midst of, I'm going to hang out in the midst of, I've got some trials, a few more tribulations, but I'm going to hold on. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to hold on at a time when the world needs to hear from God. The believers can't quit now. When folks are on the street hungry, don't know how they're going to eat, you cannot quit now. When they're still ingesting more drugs than Jesus, you cannot quit now. You can't take a break. You can't slack up. You've got to go full speed ahead. Jesus didn't quit. And you can say, well, I'm going enough and I got to pace myself because I may go down myself. But there is some good news. Jesus went down. But he rose. No matter where he takes you, he is able, because the same God that raised him from the dead will see you through. I pray you have been challenged today. But I wonder if you're bold enough to commit and say, God, I'm going to give you more. If that's you, and you can make your way down the altar, I want to pray over you, if that's okay, Pastor Love. If you said, look, I owe him more. He's given me more. I owe him more. If you have been slacking and you know that, you don't have to tell nobody, amen. But just say, God, you didn't quit on me. When I was still messed up, you didn't quit on me. So God, I can't quit on you. God is blessing you, Living Faith, to build a multi-million dollar structure. You cannot quit now. More than ever, you've got to endure and press through your pain, through your storm, through your tribulation, your situation, your circumstances, and say, God, I believe that some way, somehow, you will see us through. God knows that you're going through some hurt. He knows you're going through some suffering. He knows what's in your bank account. He knows what the doctor said, but he's saying, will you believe me? Will you trust me? Will you keep pressing? He promises to see us through. No matter what, you cannot quit now. Father God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You set an example for us. You knew we would endure hardships. You knew we would go through trials. You knew what we talked about. You know there would be days when we felt like we were hopeless. God, you knew. You've been there. But you didn't quit. You kept on giving. You did not quit. So, Father God, there are those who have come before you. Your children have come before you right now in the name of Jesus, God. Would you do, God, would you pour out into them right now a spirit of tenacity, a spirit of endurance, your spirit, God. Would you bless them right now, God, beyond measures, God? Would you pour out over them right now, God? Would you equip them, God? Would you just make up in their mind, their heart, God, that I am going to keep running no matter what? Father God, forgive us for the time we fell short, God. Forgive us, Lord, for the time we wanted to quit. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Father God, you know everyone's situation. Yeah. But because they came down and said, Father, I won't quit. Heal them right now in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Heal them right now in the name of Jesus. You know what they're in, their trouble, and what they're going through, Father God. But because they came down and said, I won't quit. Deliver them right now. Deliver them right now. In the name of Jesus, deliver them right now. In the name of Jesus. Because they have made up their mind that they will not quit. Set a joy before them. Let them know that if they endure with you, if they suffer with you, God, that one day you will reward them with a crown of righteousness. And Father, give them a joy that will cause them to run to the end. Now, God, I believe without a doubt that you have heard our petition. I believe, and there's no doubt, God, that you will respond, God. You will move. And, God, I'm excited about the testimonies and the witnesses of those who have come down and said and made a commitment that they will not quit no matter what. Father God, we give you the praise. We give you the glory. We declare it and decree it. We consider it done. In Jesus' name, go and be blessed. May God continue to bless and keep this church, this man of God, this woman of God, and keep you all. Thank you so much. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You just heard Pastor Royal Johnson of Rising Star Baptist Church of Rockdale, Texas, standing for Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church in San Antonio, Texas.